Well met, dear guests, and welcome to Castle Hohenschramberg. Yonder castle may be a ruin now, but in the olden days, it was a wonderful and impressive building teeming with life. The hammering in the smithy, whining of proud horses, the clashing weapons of the knights in training, and the permanent patter of the servants. On our tour, thou wilt learn who lived hither, what occurred here, and how yon castle did develop through the ages. Also, on our passage through this castle, we shall pass a few more of these stations, like the one you see before you. And from time to time, I will advise thee to take a break and stroll at thy leisure to the next station. Once thou hast reached it, press the play button and I shall continue telling mine old yarns. So, let us first listen to the sweet strains from our castle's very own minstrels. Meanwhile, thou art welcome to go straight ahead towards the top of the crag and peruse the castle walls.
See this tower, feel this wall, they will outlast us all. They tell the history of the builders of Hohenschramberg. All you folks listen well, all you folks let us tell what was done in the old days, right here in this place. Wherever you stand, wherever you put your hands, there are secrets in droves to discover while we go. Is it a journey you fancy? Then just take our hands. We'll take you back in times forgotten on Hohenschramberg.
We start our journey far back in the past of Hohenschramberg Castle in the year of 1450. Back then, a robber baron named Hans von Rechberg resided here, lord over Schramberg and the surrounding lands between 1440 and 1450. In the following years, two of his castles nearby were conquered, so he was forced to find a new refuge for himself and his family, his arms and munitions. He had a choice between rebuilding Ramstein Castle, which had been razed, or expanding the castle stables on site. In order to make the right decision, he sought advice at a meeting that may well have looked like this, or very similar.
Let us sit.
I've prepared some plans here and made some calculations.
It is no doubt clear to all of you how important it is to have a permanent abode near to Rottweil to keep the townsfolk in their new place. We carefully examined both possible sites. Master Johannes, would you care to sum up?
Esteemed sirs, Hans von Rechberg and I ascertained last week that despite being razed to the ground after the siege last summer, Ramstein Castle, its walls, and also the towers have been preserved. Due to today's considerably more powerful cannons and projectiles, however, the defenses would have to be expanded.
What can you suggest for the Schramberg?
The masonry of the old castle stable on the Schramberg is still quite well maintained. The whole complex is about the same age as Ramstein, and there is a well which is very important. We could dig another moat and use the earth and stones as building materials. But all this would cost a lot of money, certainly twice as much as the expansion of Ramstein.
Elspeth, what do you say?
Don't forget how scarce and brackish the water at Ramstein was. Plenty of clean, fresh water is a prerequisite for the smooth running of a court. Water is more important than anything else.
Well, good. Then so shall it be. It will be Schramberg, even if it is twofold more expensive. Let us raise our goblets to that.
It is rare to know exactly who had a castle built and what it cost them to build. In the case of Hohenschramberg, however, we can say exactly. Hans von Rechberg had it built during the years of 1457 to 1459 for 15,000 guilders.
And now, dear guests, I recommendeth the pressing of the pause button at the end of the ditty. If thou hast not reached the top, just follow that path yonder, as the crow does flyeth to our second station. There, at the backboard, I'll be awaiting thee as soon as thou hast placed thy finger on the play button. Fare thee well.
Prince of Rechberg, the strongest knight ever known, far and wide was as brave as this man. Hans of Rechberg, first lord of Hohenschramberg, robber baron, the world's foe, the strongest, most powerful of all. Yum, diddle, diddle, di-dee-da, yum, da-da, di-dee-da, yum, diddle, diddle, di-dee-da, yum.
As tamed citizens, hark ye, we be at the eastern end of the site. From here, all can cast their eyes on the inner castle, which was built in the 15th century. Some calleth it the rare castle, and it actually served as the living quarters of the knight Hans von Rechberg. Now pray listen to what my friend Sir Moritz Seeburger, a man who is wise beyond measure when it comes to castles, sayeth about it, because we knoweth these times like the back of his hand.
In geschützter Lage befindet sich hier das sogenannte Palas.
This is the building known as the Palace, a protected site. It is a representative and comfortable area that used to have at least three floors. So it would have been much higher than it is today. The palace faces south and east, and has large window openings at the sides, which no doubt were glazed. That meant you could enjoy the best sunshine all year round. And of course, it also has a correspondingly impressive view of the surrounding dominion. One can assume that the interiors would have been equally comfortable, with wood panelling, decorated walls, and of course, tiled stoves for heating.
In the main, it was the nobility that lived here. But of course, there was also an area for the servants, who were necessary for the maintenance of the castle. Hans von Rechberg acquired the money necessary for the upkeep with the spoils from the various feuds he led. These were a kind of violent self-help to solve legal disputes. For example, if the opposing party did not recognize a judgment or did not appear in court at all, Rechberg expert Dr. Niklas Konzen from the University of Archival Studies in Marburg explains what happens next.
In this kind of case, someone who suffered loss or damage at the hands of another was permitted to resort to force as a self-help under certain conditions. They had to announce to their opponent their intention of unleashing a feud through a feudal letter 3 days before force was to be used. This legal form was valid regardless of whether you were a farmer from X who felt wronged as a result of the theft of a cow, or whether you were the Margrave of Brandenburg-Ansbach and you had an issue with the imperial city of Nuremberg. In both cases, the same rules applied.
But in order to lead this kind of feud successfully, you needed tactical battle skills. Hans von Rechberg certainly had those and was also happy to put them to use on behalf of others, but he invariably had very different intentions to those actually required by those commissioning him. Thus, he carried out raids under the guise of a feud and simply kept the spoils. Continue a short way towards the summit, to the right, and look at the inner castle from that side.
Diese beiden Seiten mit den Fenstern, mit den großen Öffnungen.
These two sides, with the windows, the large openings, which are also relatively narrow compared with the other masonry, are located on sides of the castle complex that are well protected. If someone came from the mountainside, they would have been faced with this big protective wall, which is for much of its length up to 6 meters thick and almost indestructible. And if you look from the east, up here at the palace, then there is a slight projection of the protective wall beyond this living area. That means that even if anyone bombarded the castle from the mountain ridge, it would still be protected by the strong wall that juts out several meters and offer protection to this whole area.
As we have just described, Hans von Rechberg was involved in a number of feuds, and so it came to pass that he was besieged here in 1464. Despite this, he succeeded again and again to embark on his looting activities. On his return from one of these raids, on the 11th of November 1464, a farmer lay in wait for him
and shot him with an arrow.
This event has been recorded in the Zimmerer Chronicle.
When Hans von Rechberg was riding by along a path, a farmer shot him from afar out of great fear, hit him, but did not hurt him. Von Rechberg, though, had not noticed that the arrow had caught in his sleeve, and as he dismounted from his horse, pierced his own body. In this unfortunate way, on November the 11th, Hans von Rechberg was mortally wounded and died on November the 13th in Villingen.
So, as times passed, dominion over Hohenschramberg was transferred to the hands of Ludwig, eldest son of Hans. If thou now be so humored as to follow me, then returneth the way thou camest, back until the left thou shalt turn into the moat in front of the central castle. I shall await thee at yonder table. Now hark the sounds, and then press pause on thine equipment, and take ye a stroll to station 3. See thee anon.
Now listen what we say, ye ladies, each on one day, that Rechberg will surrender, settle down and rode out. He was successful and made a lot of loot on his raid. Nothing harmed this lord, not a lance, not a sword. His luck came to an end, laying an ambush, a peasant shot at Rechberg, the arrow missed, but held fast in his sleeve. Hans rode home and dismounted, then a shout of pain sounded. The arrow stabbed Rechberg's body, left his widow in grief. It's bed of Rechberg, his widow takes over to rule 5 more years before she dies. Ludwig of Rechberg, new master of Hohenschramberg, expands his dominion, the strongest, most powerful, the wisest of all. Yum, little, little, lady, yum, da, da, little, lady, yum, little, little, lady.
When our robber knight Hans von Rechberg was still among the living, he always had to count on being assailed himself. As the years passed, he had spun himself a veritable network of feuds and was hereabouts deemed to be everyone's enemy.
In order to prepare himself well to repel any revenge attacks by those he had robbed or from campaigns by other robber knights, Rechberg extended the castle in such a way that it is extremely difficult to capture. Any enemy who wanted to conquer the castle first had to pass the buildings in front of it, the so-called outer bailey, and then offered an easy target for the marksmen positioned on the walls. Should the besieger have managed this, presumably incurring high losses, he would find himself caught here in the ditch between the two buildings.
Wir befinden uns jetzt hier im Grabenbereich. Das ist ein zentraler Punkt der Verteidigungssituation.
We are now in the moat area, which is a key area for the defense of the castle. This moat was created artificially, or at least artificially expanded. That meant that right from the start, the castle could be built from stones and materials excavated from the moat to create this defense bastion. In the moat on the right-hand side, one can see the strong shielding or outer wall that protects the castle also from heavy-duty instruments of siege. And directly in front of it, we can see the rudiment of a tower, built in a half circle, which reached up at least as high as the entrance in the protective wall. That meant that this castle tower was accessible from the core of the inner castle. Directly across from it lies the outer bailey, which is open to the rear. Originally, it would have been closed, not by brickwork, but by timber frames or wooden panels. That served the purpose that if the outer bailey fell into the hands of a besieger, there was only a relatively minor obstacle to break through in order to fight the opponent in the outer bailey on the other side. So, from that tower, it was relatively easy to destroy the timber frame construction, and the opponent would have no chance of sitting tight. These are the late Middle Ages, a time when gunpowder-powered weapons had become the main element of besiegement technology. That meant that the castle site of Hans von Rechberg was above all built to resist the impact of firearms, but could also be defended with firearms.
Hark ye, dear guests. If thou wish to discover how the Landenbergs continued to shape Hohenschramberg Castle, then pause your machines after the minstrel ditties come to an end and follow me straight as the flight of an arrow out of the moat. Prithee, canst see the tower yonder? I shall await thee there to continue the narration of my chronicle. Fare thee well, anon.
For nearly threescore years, beloved master Ludwig reigned supreme, and used his rule wisely till he passed away. Cleared the way for Hans the Younger to reign over his lands, till he gave it into the hands of his brother-in-law. The brother-in-law was also Hans in name, yet he represented the Landenberg line. And who would have thought it, Hans the Younger, to feud with the empire cities in Württemberg.
Landenberg, the start of an era, new lineage takes over this castle's command. Landenberg, as new master of Hohenschramberg, defeats all his foes. He's the strongest, most powerful, the wisest and bravest of all. Yum, 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 yum.
Prithee, look ye back at the inner castle. Imagine a drawbridge on the narrow path to the left of it. It was the last hurdle an enemy had to overcome before he could obtain access to the inner castle. As the Rechbergs, so did Landenberg, the new lord of Hohenschramberg, use this castle as starting point and safe retreat in the year of our Lord 1540, during his feud with the city of Rottweil. In order to defend the gatehouse better, the knight did have built the half tower where we met. At the time of the Landenbergs, it was in all likelihood some meters higher than thou seest today. After the passing of Landenberg followed Rochus Merz, who did come from the mercantile class, and about the new edifices he did build, he now will learn.
Here you can see a tower and the cellar of a house. This was built as a half tower, in essence similar to the outer bailey. Not closed off with masonry, but probably with a timber frame or wooden panelling. The function of the tower is not quite clear. One of its roles was no doubt to provide surveillance of the access path from the valley. That meant that the embrasures that are on the inside provide a clear aim at exactly this area.
If you continue upward a little and look down from the wooden platform, you will see the remains of the cellar vaults. They date back to a time of Rochus Merz and were part of a large and representative residence with business areas which he had built here. Rochus Merz was the first administrator who became owner and lord of Schramberg. With his large-scale extensions, he ushered in the last great construction phase of Hohenschramberg Castle. The major changes are to be found in the Outer Bailey, a symmetrical fortification consisting of two wall walks and one round tower, which surround a large triangular courtyard, upon which five cannon could be placed. That is where our next station, number 5, is located.
Maketh thine way to yonder staircase. Clamber aloft and meet me at the next panel. As thou may have already surmised, I wouldst recommend thee to take a pause after the music, so nay one may fall down the stairway distracted by our voices. Farewell, and see thee anon.
Oh, who smells great administrator, never have we been better off than in his days. Oh, who smells acquired von Schramberg, expanded the fortress, the strongest, most powerful, the wisest and bravest,
most bureaucratic of all.
Rochusmerz acquired the fortress, and with him came great change. He expanded the castle, so it did fit in his time. It has long been outdated, but this memory faded. When sunlight illuminated it in full finery, through his capable hands, a violent era now ends, of rage and of hues, of sorrow and pain. New wall walks around and
new cannons were sounded,
as his roots were by his sight, all built by this night.
Er hat hier eine dreieckige Vorfläche vor die alte Rechbergsche Burg gesetzt.
Here he built a triangular forecourt in front of the old Rechberg castle, in the direction of the mountain, and thus offered the possibility of placing several large, long-range cannon there. Additionally, the spearhead is formed by a solid tower, which has numerous embrasures, which offer protection of the upper moat area, which can then be placed under fire. Thus, the site beyond the modern-day parking area was originally an open space, a large garden area. In times of peace, this of course offered the possibility of supplying the castle with fresh produce. The military function, which this also included, was that it maintained a large open space, several hundred meters long, in a westerly direction, which was accordingly easily monitored and easily brought under fire.
If you still want to do some exploring after our tour, you can find remains of small defensive battlements in the woods. If you now look towards the castle, our last station is behind the circular walls you see before you. To do this, please walk right past the building. You will then pass through the Zwinger into the former farm buildings.
Zwinger ist ein Bereich im Vorfeld der Burganlage, der
A Zwinger is an area in front of the castle proper that lures the enemy in. That means he gets through, if he can make it, into the castle site only to find himself trapped in a staggered area between masonry walls and towers, and can be fired upon from several sides. This area is known as the Zwinger because the besieger is forced into this area, and in the best case scenario is forced to surrender.
Now let us move onwards. Pauseth thy equipment again once the music stops, and then followeth me right past the building through the Zwinger. I shall await thine arrival at the former farm buildings. Fare thee well.
Metz constructed modern halls, whole new towers, whole new walls. For 15 years the cranes reach high from this place into the sky. He surely proved a real good touch, the place you stand.
Wir sind hier in der Vorburg, wie man das vorher aus dem Graben schon gesehen hat. Ist das ein
We are here in the outer bailey. As you could see before from the moat, it is an important element in the defense system of the castle, which is closely connected to the protective wall and the moat area. Open to the back, or only built with timber frame or wood paneling, the building, which originally consisted of three stories, had embrasures on all sides. And if you look carefully inside, you can see that on the right and left of the lower area, there are openings. Those are support points for the wooden shaft that was built in here. It was a piece of wood that was fixed into the brickwork or wedged in later to serve as a rest for the musket when shooting. Muskets were relatively heavy handheld guns, and they also had quite a strong recoil. So with a hook on the lower barrel, they could be restrained and thus reduce the impact of the recoil. It also made aiming easier.
In the upper area, you can see a passageway that used to lead to a wall walk that connected this building with the tower we saw on Station 4. If you go back a little through the gate, you can see a motto inscribed above the entrance on the other side.
Die Inschrift weist darauf hin, dass im Jahr 1499
The inscription informs us that the building was rebuilt in 1499 as a result of a fire the previous year, so 1498. The inscription reads rebuilt 1499 and underneath anno 1498 verbrunn, which means burned.
In the 30 Years' War, the castle did burn once more and was rebuilt once more. But Castle Hohenschramberg's final demise also came in a blaze of flames. Forced by Louis XVI's French soldiers, the inhabitants of Schramberg were obliged to carry up flammable material to the castle until 10th January 1689. 'Tis said the castle burned for 4 days and 4 nights until Hohenschramberg was leveled to the ground. And thus, it is there we now see before us only the castle ruins, which, dear guests, returns us to the present day. I verily hope thou hast found pleasure in our short journey through the history of Hohenschramberg, and that all ye good folk can take some impressions and photographs of note. Thanking thee most heartily for your attention, I say, may thee all live long and bid thee a fond farewell.
See this tower, feel this wall, they will outlast us all. They tell the history of the builders of Hohenschramberg. This journey now ends, but now you know, my dear friends, the legends well hidden in each stone you can see. We hope you enjoyed it. Be assured, folks, that we did to walk with you through these halls where our songs still resound. Make sure that you won't forget it. Carry home in your spirit a legacy left behind here on Hohenschramberg. Yum,
yum, little, little, 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 Zeit.